Welcome to Querido Connects. I'm your host, Jen, and I've been conversing with friends around the world about life challenges and impactful moments. Conversations on this platform look at answering the questions, how we overcome challenges, and how our experiences shape who we are and the work we do today. I hope this work can inspire you on your own personal and individual journey. Let's dive right in. Hello, my guest today is fashion designer and award-winning creative director, Alexander King Chen. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Jen. Hi. Hi, everyone.
I'm so excited that Alex agreed to be on my podcast today. Alex is actually sitting in New York right now, so this is really exciting. We've been trying to find a time to do this the whole summer, but you've been flying around even during the pandemic. So Alex and I actually went to the same high school, but you are a few years older than me. And we connected through my sister, actually, I think. Or I can't remember. It was through some party, and somehow we're like, oh, wait, we know you, or we know each other. And we really connected because we, you know, we talked about creativity, being in Taiwan, trying to, you know, be local but go global, etc. And at the time, Alex was more focused on fashion designing. So I would always flip through magazines and go, "Oh, there's Alex," you know, in some like fashion show or something. But in the last few years, Alex has gone through another transformational period in his life. He moved into kind of a creative director role and composer. You even wrote your own music, and personally gone through a lot of things as well, losing both your parents recently and many dealing with a lot of other things as we do in life. So today I think Alex will share with us his journey, and then also finding yourself through darkness through your creative work, which I think is pretty fascinating and really fun to hear. So without further ado, Alex, please take the mic.
I will do that. Thank you, Jen. Thank you for the amazing introduction. Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. And I went through a couple of stuff and a couple of things in my life that I think it's worth sharing. And like Jen said, I went through a lot of darkness throughout my, some happiness, some darkness, some lightness, some everything, a bit of everything. And I want to share with everybody that I'm so happy right now because I think I was able to channel some of my energy and my sadness into certain things. So I think that's what I kind of want to share with everybody. For the people that are encountering certain things in their life, I hope this podcast will help you walk out of the darkness a little bit. I'm hoping. So what Jen said, without further ado, let me introduce myself very quickly. I went to design school in London, and I worked in Paris a little bit, and then I moved to New York City. Throughout my entire life, I've been in the fashion industry for 20 years. What I want to talk about is not that. I wanted to say that, you know, my passion, I knew I wanted to be a fashion designer when I was a fetus, probably, you know, I was like, I want to be a designer, I already knew that when I was like 0 years old. And fast forward, you know, I don't want to say how many years, let's say 30 years from now. For 30 years, I was so happy. I my dream job, you know, my accomplishments that I'm happy to have done. But then, like, you know, at a certain point, I feel like it's not like I want to betray what I used to believe in, but it's more like I feel like what discovering what fashion really means sometimes is you find the evil truth about something. And I noticed that with my passion, which I used to be so strongly in love with, it didn't become a burden, but it became actually something in my mind as something that is very toxic. Toxic not because I feel like a lot of fashion people are very pretentious. Not that, but just like, I feel like, I mean, it's toxic to the environment, and it's a pretty tough is a nice word. I feel like it's a pretty evil industry in a way. Pretentious becomes one of it, of course. But anyway, so having been in it for 30 years, I'm so happy and I loved every single bit of it. But what happened was my parents, I moved back to Taiwan because my parents were a bit sick. So 3 years ago, time flies, Jen. 3 years ago, they left Earth. My mom passed away. So before she passed away, she's been doing community service for 10 years, right? So, and she was blind, she was in a wheelchair. And, you know, after she passed away, I of course, I, you know, I was so depressed. I sank into this, you know, I sank into the abyss, basically. I couldn't get out of it. And then I was just so sad. But while I was in my sadness, I thought to myself, like, wow, even someone who's in a wheelchair for 10 years, she's blind, she couldn't do anything, she's on dialysis, she couldn't walk, she's still able to do community service 2 days a week. And I was like, and I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, Alex, you can see, you have legs, you can walk, you can talk, you can do all of these things. How come, why are you so selfish? You're so selfish, you're so self-involved. Because everyone knows as a designer, it's all about what your vision is, what you believe in, right? And what you want people to buy your products, you know, what you're all about. So then I was like, wow, my goodness, I've been so selfish. And I actually looked back on my life and I was like, whoa, I can't believe I've been this person. So after she passed away, I was depressed and all that. And so I was thinking to myself that even someone that is that, I don't know if crippled is politically correct to say, but she was physically crippled, right? And she has so much love and passion to give to the world. So I thought to myself that I can't live this like blind light, you know, I'll just say BS, okay, for the time being, just to be nice. So then I kind of just like was thinking, and I was like, wow, I think to continue her legacy, to continue her kindness, you know, for the next 3 years, I should just dedicate my time. I have a lot of time now. And so I thought I should do things that are important to me and to others. But at that point, I didn't realize what I'm doing is I'm actually speaking my heart. But what I'm also doing is I'm combining the love of my life, fashion, film, set design, costumes, music, into one thing, like visuals, right? So I didn't realize what I was doing was actually something a bit different. And I think that's why I think the three films that we actually just finished, the humanitarian short fashion films, which have gained so much recognition in the fashion film circuit, because I feel like very few filmmakers are doing this humanitarian aspect of the fashion film. So we see a lot of films that are like, well, you know, it's like the earth is crumbling, you know, forests are, you know, completely, you know, gone and dead. But what we did it was we brought fashion into it, which is kind of weird. Like it's hard to mix fashion with something that's, you know, humanitarian, I guess, because fashion, as I keep mentioning, is kind of selfish, right? Anyway, so I just started to, I did this hybrid where I combined the two. And I think that's where our three films really, really took off and really surprised all the judges around the world, all the festivals. They're just like, wow, I think when I started to think less of myself, less to be less selfish, just let me put it that way. My something else happened to me, and I was able to combine a lot of the things that I didn't see when I was growing up, you know, like, cause I was so centered and focused on one thing. But actually in reality, everything coexists in my life. I just never discovered it. So when I decided to believe in helping out with certain things, I actually discovered that I can do more with myself and more with my passion, like combining music, costume, with humanitarian aspects, with sets. And I think that's when it shed a light onto myself. Sorry, that was a very long explanation.
No, not at all. I'm like sitting here with my eyes like going, wow, you know, I haven't talked to Alex in a while. So this is all new updates for me. And I'm just, you know, if I can say, I'm just so proud, right? You know, we've sat through many conversations, drinking wine, you know, just discussing these different issues. And, you know, when you have friends, close friends that you do this with, it's always nice to see everyone, you know, growing and progressing, you know, in that direction. Yes. And I was curious, though, you mentioned that your mom devoted like 10 years of her time to volunteer work. For her, what was close to her heart for what she wanted to do, right? I was curious.
Yes,
you didn't kind of go into that, yeah.
She visited patients in hospitals that were under intensive care. So she would go visit them twice a week. So her helper actually, which also did great deeds too by pushing my mom into the hospitals during the time that she actually had the energy to see her. I mean, they weren't her patients; they became her friends. So that's what she did. She visited patients in hospitals that were in critical need of either friendship, companionship, stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, that's so admirable.
That's really nice. Yes.
Yeah. Because like you said earlier, you know, she's blind, she's in a wheelchair bound, but she yes. took her disability, so to speak, right?
Yes.
In a positive light. And, yes, you know, totally. She still has a big heart, and mm-hmm. she has, you know, her voice to share and converse with others yes. who are bedridden in ICU, right? ICUs in the hospitals.
Yes.
That's very beautiful. But you probably didn't really think that when when she was still around.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that at all. I'm like trying to do my own stuff. I'm like, whatever, you know. I didn't realize how meaningful. I mean, not to say that we should be doing good just to get
recognition
or anything like that. I mean, we should, if we want to do good. I mean, a lot of people that really devote their time are, it stems from their heart, which is amazing. I mean, even people that actually don't believe in doing good yet, even if they did touch upon it, that's still great. I'm not saying that it's not great. Sorry, let me rephrase. But yeah, I mean, now I realize that, wow, it's admirable what she did. I mean, yeah. It really is.
So I'm gonna challenge you here a little bit. Please. So we talked about, you know, you're growing up very focused and knowing that you wanted to, you know, walk down this fashion route, right? And yes. And you did very successfully. You know, my sister wore your creation, your beautiful black dress.
Oh, yes.
During your senior year fashion.
Prom year.
I don't know, something like that. Yeah. We still have that picture sitting somewhere. And I got to wear one of yours as well for one of the galas recently.
Yes.
You know, lovely, amazing dresses you make. And you mentioned that, you know, there is an ego, level of ego. And I mean, yes, we use the word pretentiousness, but in that world, the fashion yeah. world, you know, regardless if it's global or in Taiwan, right. And you said, you know, you mentioned toxic, but not necessarily in the sense of those in it, but also the whole entire industry itself, right?
Right.
Very wasteful,
yeah,
a lot exactly. of chemicals, et cetera.
Right.
At what point did it hit you? Where you're like, I don't want to be a part of that anymore, right? Because you spent
yes.
so many years devoting
yes.
your time, you know, your energy into making the connections, creating things, and, you know,
yes.
building a business on it.
Yes.
And to let all that go, that's not easy.
No, it wasn't
right.
at all.
No, I'm so okay. That's my first question, right? I wanted to ask you, and then. Well, maybe you can answer that one first, and then I'll ask you my second question that follows up to this.
Okay, so what happened was it was a duration about a year or two that I started to realize that this transition of wow, the fashion is just so toxic, it's so egotistical, it's so this and that, right? It started when I actually started collaborating. God, I make it sound like I'm dying at the end of my career, towards the later half of my fashion design career. I started collaborating. I started doing a lot of crossovers with like other brands like ASUS, Mercedes-Benz. So when I started to actually cross over, which, you know, that's a huge industry, not crossing over with different brands. Once I started doing that, I realized that, wow, I actually have to put my client's need before mine. Right. Because when I was designing for other myself, it's all about me. It's all about what I believe in, what I want to design, what color. It's me. But then once I started collaborating with like ASUS, I had to actually, I can no longer be me anymore. Right. And then, so then I think that was the first pivotal point that I actually realized that, wow, actually my clients that actually love my stuff, that wants to hire me to collaborate with them, believes in what I believe in, but I also have to respect what they believe in too, their SOP, their brand image. Like for ASUS, I wanted to do like, you know, like some kind of like, because for ASUS, I told a story with their computers and, you know, I had like a king and a queen, et cetera, et cetera. So they were supposed to die in our fashion show with blood. You know, I was trying to do all of these like visual things and they wouldn't let me. And I was like, no, it's my show. It's your show too, but I want to do it. But I had to settle because, you know, of course they're my clients. So I want them to be happy too. And I was so happy not doing all the blood things and stuff. So my point is that it started when I started collaborating with other companies that I realized that, wow, actually, if it can actually go deeper into what I believe into what they believe. It's like the symbiotic relation. If I can work well with ASUS, I mean, that's a very huge, I think, achievement for me as well. So we were, yeah. So I think that was the first part that started it all.
You mean you had to learn to compromise?
Exactly. Well, that's not a word I feel like designers would use at all. not at all. But then it was, but because of certain things I did, I had to compromise, right? But because I didn't do that, that's actually another reason why I did the first film, In Human Love. There's a lot of blood in there. It's the same story, essentially, but I rewrote the script. I wrote it for ASUS, which, Jen, you've seen both, haven't you?
I have seen both, and I vividly remember you playing the cello wearing all white, and you had tears in your eyes, because that was shortly after your mom had passed. That was
a month afterwards. Yes. Yeah. And I'm not sure what your second question is, but I do want to continue for 5 minutes.
Please do.
So what happened was then, it's not funny, but sadly enough, my mother had passed when I was working on 3 fashion shows. One in Korea, one in Taipei, and this other one somewhere else. I think it was Beijing.
It was Beijing. I remember. Beijing, right? That was very jingcai, very glamorous as well.
Yes.
You worked with a very famous designer, was
it? Hu Seguang. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And that production was, I mean, it looked like something you would see at the Met Opera or something.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
It was this huge, huge production with just like 80 models, and it was in a stadium, you know, and it was just ridiculous. But my collection then was actually because my mother was in the hospital already she was not making it through, right? So for prior to her passing away for 6 months, we already know she was in the hospital, et cetera. So she'd been going and coming in and out. So actually I dedicated my collection to her. And from the collection, what I did was because being a homosexual or gay person living in Taiwan, I love my parents to death, and they're so open, but I felt very bound and tied up. So the collection is dedicated to my mom, of course, but half of it is being this Asian son that I'm supposed to be. So my whole entire collection was designed where it was visually, I told the story about my life in a way. So all the the clothes that I designed were, I was all bound up because I didn't have a voice. Although my parents were so loving and giving, I just felt this responsibility to need to abide to what they, you know, want. And I'm happy doing that. So my whole collection was just clothes that were bound, and like they were just, it was like very S&M, and I couldn't speak my voice. But while the clothes were coming down the runway, I infused it with visuals that I shot myself. It was me in the backdrop with crying, like visually with blue light and all of these things. So that's actually when I started realizing that. And that the music, we picked like these really insane, my favorite band, they're called I forgot it right now, sorry, my brain is not working, but Merkin Didi has this song called 800, which is kind of like the Asian version of like the death, like music for the death, you know, like those horns that they play in Tibet. It's kind of like that. So we played all of this, and then the people, the spectators that came, was Hu Seguang, which is the one of China's most prominent fashion designers. He's like the Alexander McQueen of China. So he came to our show, and he saw our show, and he had tears in his eyes. And he didn't know what was happening, because I think I wasn't blatant about my situation. Nothing in my show showcased that my mother had passed away. But it was just such a somber and sad fashion show. I think we're probably the first fashion show in the world that made people cry, probably. And he actually flew in from China to Seoul to see our show. Right after the show, he runs up to me. He's like, what the hell was that? I don't know what's going on with you, Alex, but your show, like, people were like in tears. We don't know what happened. Anyway, sorry. So that, going back to what we were saying earlier, I think that's kind of like when I first realized that I should not be selfish anymore. It shouldn't be about myself. And the power of visuals and the power of sometimes what we can do with creativity can reach a lot of people, and not just, you know, oh, I like blue because I like blue gowns, you know, but we should, our messages are positive sometimes. It could be negative too. It could speak our mind. So I think that's when I started realizing that I should no longer be, you know, the selfish. I got to reemphasize it. I'm still selfish to certain degrees. I'm probably still really, really selfish, but compared to me 5 years ago, I'm a lot less selfish. Because in case my friends hear this, they'll probably be like, Alex, you're still just as selfish. But I feel like if I were to evaluate myself, I would be, you know, a little bit more giving nowadays. Less selfish. Sorry. Yeah. Back to you, Jen.
No. That was great. I think that you really encompassed your pivot, you know, and you know, again, this whole podcast is about challenges and impactful moments that have shaped you to become who you are today and the work you do. And I think what you just explained really, you know, summarized your experience in that way.
Yes.
I want to then take us into how you managed to come up with, and I, you know, with your three films that have been winning so many awards in this last, mm-hmm. and actually during the pandemic is the last 18 months, right? Mm-hmm. And actually not many people have been able to view your films because it's not publicly released.
No.
So unfortunately, our viewers who are listening to this will have to wait, I guess, because I don't even know. Do you know when, how you're going to release it or?
Not yet. We're still thinking about it.
Yeah. But anyway, it will be released at some point one day, right? Like people
yes,
can
one day.
Can,
but check us out, follow us on IG though, because yeah, we're
follow on Instagram, like, check out your website. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, what you did with these films is so beautifully done in terms of what you said earlier, like bringing that creative element into humanitarian issues
right.
and really, you know, aesthetically combining it together,
right.
you know, how, I mean,
right.
again, we don't have to be political about it, but it's just spreading that message in that
yeah.
very abstract, creative way.
Yes.
I have to be honest, I without your little description, like the little 4-minute explanation and the end of the viewing that one time we watched
right.
your first film, I had to rewatch it twice to understand what the messaging was, because it was so artistic and abstract. But,
right.
but you know, it was great. I want to ask you, you know, how did you get to that point of making these three films with the Hayes brothers that you
right.
also, you know, from nowhere hired them
right.
and got them
right.
to fly from New York to Taiwan? And then where do you think you're going next?
Okay, got it. So I think to answer the first part of this question is, and I do want to mention this to the people that are listening. I feel like a lot of times we are not honest to ourselves. And one thing that I've discovered is that I'm trying to be as honest to myself, and I'm trying to admit the things that I've done that were wrong previously, or that I wasn't trying to face, right? Like, let's say I used to be bullied, you know, let's say, for example, and I'm trying to like accept that it did happen. And I'm trying to channel certain anger, not towards the people that caused me harm, but to justify betterness in our society. So I think the first thing I want to share with everyone, and I know this whole IG is, our second film is actually about mental awareness, because something that bothers me a lot is, you know, I kudos to social media, you know, it helped, gave a lot of people careers, and, you know, but at the same time, I feel like it also ruined a lot of people, because they're reaching for a status or something that it exists, but not everyone's going to get it, right? So I feel like they're really kind of sometimes missing out on the beautiful parts of life that life has to offer. So our second film is about that, and but we do it in a beautiful way. So, but to answer your question, what brought me into this whole thing, right, with the three films is, so like I mentioned with to you earlier, I was working with ASUS, which is the most amazing clients. I love them. So we worked on four huge projects together, but there's certain things I couldn't do. So in retrospect, I think I remember telling myself, I was like, wow, if I got hired by someone else, I really wouldn't be able to explain certain things as clearly. So I was like, okay, so since I wrote the music, I made the costumes, everything's done. All I need was someone to actually turn this fashion show into a film. But at the fashion show wasn't as giving. The fashion show was about ASUS's computer, how it's a heritage piece that everyone's trying to fight this computer for the betterment of their society. But with what we did with our film, half a year had gone by. So I changed our plot line. And this is when I started to realize that I wanted to just dedicate my 3 years of my life to very meaningful things. So the first film was Saving Mother Earth. And I basically adapted our first script for ASUS. I tweaked it and I changed it so it can... So it meant something else in a way. So that's what happened. And I guess in a way, I think what you were asking Hayes by. So we collaborated with these completely brilliant directors, Adam Hayes and Nick Hayes. They did like the like, I don't know, 10 years ago, they did like the Star Wars CoverGirl ads, the global ads. They're just really, really ridiculously beautiful stuff, right? Like very visionary directors. So amazing. So what happened was I met them at a party in New York one day, like 3 years ago. And then we were like, okay, yeah, let's, you know, check out my IG. Let's hang out. I think this is how it went. I kind of forgot. So then like a couple of days later, we reached out to each other. And then They were shooting something called Beer. And then, so I did a styling for that one project. So, but we've only seen, at that time, we've only seen each other like 5 times probably at most. Fast forward 2 years later or 1 year later, I'm in Taiwan and I reached out. But we're like on IG, we're like, oh, we should hang out sometime. But, you know, I was in Asia. So then one day out of the blue, I think this is the point of my story is you also have to be thick skinned too. So what I did was.
That's right? What I was trying to get at. Yeah. Like that. The storyline here is that you just got to ask and do it.
You just got to
exactly.
Just got
to execute. That's what I did. Worst case is they say no, move on.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So that's what I did. I emailed them from Taiwan, and then, you know, they've never been to Taiwan at that time yet. And they're like, yes, we would love to, you know, collaborate. And that's what happened. And then the first film turned into, you know, a trilogy with 3 short humanitarian fashion films.
Right. So what's next?
I don't know if it's selfishness or self-involved or kindness or what it is right now, because I'm going into another part of my life right now. I feel like I want to continue to do these humanitarian films. Maybe it is because it brings joy to my life. Maybe, I'm not sure. Or maybe because I feel like there are certain things that I want to talk about or support, maybe. Or maybe because I'm selfish, because I feel like, oh, it brings a different light to, you know, it makes me want to work harder because of certain aspects that I want to fulfill, right? I'm not sure what it is, but right now we're working on, with Hayes Brothers, we're working on a feature film. But this is like a project that we've been discussing for a while. Whether or not it has humanitarian aspects, I'm not sure, because it's going to be a proper film. I want to try to gear it so it's meaningful to everyone, that it has a very important message. But at the same time, I'm also working on, okay, it's a really secretive thing that I kind of don't want to say, because if I say it, I'm going to give myself pressure. But I'm just going to say it because I guess I need the pressure. So I want to do something off Broadway.
Oh, yeah. That is so exciting.
I think, yeah. So that's what, but again, if I do decide to do that, which we're planning right now, I definitely, if it's my own project, I want it to have humanitarian aspects in there. I need it to mean something, because a lot of things mean differently to people, but it does matter to a lot of people. So, and I think that's what I care about nowadays. Yeah.
Exactly.
Not to bring self-fulfillment, but just to do it because my passion is there as well.
Well, and when your passion is there, whatever you share is very empowering to those who it speaks to, you know?
Yes.
Whether you realize it or not.
Yes. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of when alignment comes together. You know, and it just feels right.
It flows.
Yeah, it flows. It totally flows. So we're, you know, we're coming short on time here, mm-hmm. but I wanted to ask you what you would tell others who are fashion designers or creatives, you know, based on what you've learned, you know, what you shared today here, what would you tell them if they are stuck? You know, if they're stuck creating their own line, or they're stuck trying to be a creative but working for corporate, or, you know, or they're stuck like, kind of like what you said earlier, where that ego is sitting there and, you know, but they, you know, because all creatives have so much to offer, but there is that there's that push and pull, right? Like, and you learned it. Like you said earlier, through the collaboration relationships.
Yes, yes.
But that was also because you've already developed your career and a name brand for yourself before that happened. But what if it's like a young designer who, you know, like they're just starting out, and, you know, like, is it also you have to pay your dues? Like, you have to put in that 20 years, you know, and the market has changed dramatically now.
Absolutely.
Right? From when you came out from school to where we are now. I mean, so many young people are starting their own brands because we have all these tools that makes marketing easier, makes distribution channel easier. What do you have to share and what do you have to say about?
Okay. Well, I think there's 2 parts to that question, because there's the designers that actually have their own company, and then there are the designers that are actually working for someone else. So I feel like there's two, to me, I would answer that differently. So if I were to tackle, if you are your own entity, if it's your own business, I actually do feel like you need, my suggestion is, a lot of the times we want to try to be ourselves, and that's where we kick ourselves in the butt, right? Because we're also trying to make money. It's all about us. It's all about what we believe in, what we love, right? That's what we're offering to our clients. But at the same time, we're worried about the monetary side of it, which is what I ran into, because I wanted to be myself, do my stuff. But then all my clients wanted something black, but I wanted to design it in red, right? So I think that's where a lot of the designer will kick themselves in the butt, because they're torn between making money or being themselves, making money or being themselves. Sorry. So the first question I would like to share is, I think that it's more important to definitely be yourself first, if it's your own company, but not worry about money, because, but then that also ties into being egotistical too. Then it becomes more like me. But I think that's okay if you're just starting out. It should be your vision. It should be your guidelines. It should be your rules. It should be on your dime, to be creating the things. I think then you're more true to yourself. And through doing that, I feel like you can then branch out, because then you have your own personal voice. If you adhere or subside to conform, like what, let's say if you're a suit designer, right, and the society no one's wearing suits anymore, ties, but you still really want to do suits, maybe that will be the jumping off point where you're more successful than the other people that are trying to conform. It's not their passion to make $800 t-shirts with a logo print on it, right? But then you're not conforming. So I feel like you can find your identity a lot easier, because that's what I went through for a couple of years too. I wasn't myself, and I was trying to make clothes that were for the public, but at the end my clothes turned out disastrous. Sales were great, money was very decent, but I couldn't be myself. Then I changed my style, because I no longer can design things that I don't believe in anymore. Then it became about me, like whatever I believe. But then sales dropped. But then when I did that, the big companies start to see that I actually had a voice. And then I was hired to do these huge collaborations. So for the people that actually have their own company, that's what I would say. Like, definitely keep your voice. I mean, I'm sure most people would keep their voice, right? But definitely,
but it's hard. It's hard
because you're trying to make ends meet as well, right?
Right, and also yes. It's that like mind fuck, right?
Like, well, we're allowed to say that word on here.
Oh, I've had several people swear on these different episodes.
I have brought my A game on with my swear words. No, I'm just kidding. With cuss words. What were you saying? Sorry.
No, I just said it was a mind game, sorry.
Yeah, would that be exactly. More
good? Yeah. Mind game, right? Like, yes. But it's true. Yeah. And it does apply to everyone, actually. It's not only creatives, right? Whatever you do, stick to who you are and your truth. And it's hard, but that's the long run. Like, you're going to keep coming back to it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And also now I want to talk about very quickly the people that are actually the designers that are working for others. I feel like that's a whole different ballgame on its own too. When you're working for someone, I definitely think that you need to follow and adhere to their rules, because you don't know what that position can entail for you either. You may eventually become the creative director for that label. Then you can bring on your own views. So, and also, of course, working for others is the time for you to learn. So I don't think you need to bring in so much ego yet, because you're working for someone, you're getting a beautiful salary, or actually creatives, we don't get that great of a salary.
You're getting a beautiful salary.
But my point is, that is the time to learn and to pay attention, to be mindful and to be respectful of, you know, the company's, whatever it is that they believe in, right? And you should not be, I mean, you could. I'm sure there are successful designers that started working for a label that wanted to be themselves, that then became creative. Of course, that happens too. But I'm just saying the safer route is really just to use that time to learn and to see, figure out how that company succeeds. I think that's the trick of the trade for when you're working for others, is that you're actually constantly learning. If you're doing using your work, you're, you know, working for yourself, you no longer have the opportunity to find out, oh my God, how, what, what's the, what, you know? So I think that's what
you can make. You can make your mistakes working for others, right? It's on their hour and on their time.
Exactly. And then once you've learned enough and you're confident enough, then come out and do your own label. Yeah.
Exactly. Well said.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I will include your site and your Instagram, so people who felt like they connected with your story. They can follow you. You know, maybe some people might want to reach out for collaborations.
Yes.
But we also would like to, you know, view your films. Yes. And perhaps this off-Broadway show in a year or two.
Yes. I mean, and I do want to add one more thing before we go. And I want to reach out to your audience as well. Like, if anyone really is going through a tough time because of their career, if they're a designer, or if they're, you know, in the shadow because of certain family issues, please also reach out to me too. I'm not a psychiatrist nor anything, but since I've walked through it, I've been through that. If anyone needs anyone to share, to be a lending ear, even, you know, you can reach out to me for sure. I would love to share how I got to, you know, like what you said, Jen, like, how do I get from this, bring light out of my darkness?
Yes. Oh, that's so sweet. And it's true. You're great. I mean, a bottle of wine or two and some tissues. And, you know, we've done this as well. Yes. You and I have done this as well. So I would encourage anyone else who wants to connect with Alex to reach out.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Alex.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jen. Thank you for having me on your show.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you for listening to Curito Connects. For more Connects content, collaborations, and discoveries set to inspire you on your own individual journey, please head to our website at www.curito.co. Until next time, stay inspired, and thank you for joining us at Curito Connects.